When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. As usual, I am the Bear of Texas, and let's welcome back Mr. David LaFon. David, what's doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Chaos Nation? Good to be with you again. Just living that life and ready to talk about the always entertaining world of wrestling, which honestly lately is starting to seem like it's more entertaining outside the ring than it is inside. And I don't know how much of a good thing that is, but we're here to look at it from all those angles and give you our unique takes on it.
Yeah, basically, I feel like I'm a dude going to the ring with a trash can full of weapons. I'm ready to go hardcore. So that brings me to the first talking point that we got to cover today. Apparently, Sammy Guevara has embroiled in a Twitter feud with Andrade, and this seems to have started about 2 days ago after Andrade was on a show, and he mentioned that Sammy Guevara allegedly approached him in the locker room after a match and complained that Andrade was being too stiff in the ring.
That is correct. The quote, according here to Fightful.com, is basically, Andre saying that he had an issue with Sammy. Sammy came into the locker room, complained that it hit him too hard. And Andre's basically like, hey, man, it's wrestling. If you can't handle it, then get out of the business, you know. It's funny because, you know, Andrade in this quote, you know, drops a lot of WWE names, talks about Sheamus and Miz and Cena. Like, none of them, you know, have complained about how hard he hits and the fact that Sammy's doing it. I think Andrade just saw it as a huge sign of disrespect because it doesn't sound like that Sammy even said this to Andrade. He just kind of said it in the locker room behind his back.
That might be the case. And, speaking of a quote, I mean, Andrade, was said to Sammy, if I hit you hard, then you hit me hard, too. It's wrestling. So, I mean, I get it. It's choreographed, we like that. But of course, a lot of wrestlers are trained in a certain style, and some wrestlers are a bit stiff, but not too stiff. But then again, it's pro wrestling. It may be scripted, whatnot, but it is a very dangerous sport.
Yeah, I mean, as the old quote is, it ain't ballet. I mean, it is. You know, you have an unwritten code that if, you know, as long as they're not just potatoing you on every shot, you know, if they're working a little stiff, you work a little stiff back. And, you know, if you do have an issue with it, you know, you actually say it to them. I don't think it's something that you necessarily want to go behind their back and do. And I mean, it's just, you know, we can go over the Sammy tweets as well, but it definitely seems like it's always Sammy involved in this. So, I mean, if this is another angle, then bravo to them for just booking something that's kind of blurring that line that has everyone talking. But if this is legitimately a shoot, then Sammy needs to grow the fuck up, man, because this is a constant thing with him not getting along with people, and then he attacks them on Twitter.
I mean, first Eddie Kingston, and now Andrade. I mean, I've got the tweets right here, then. But I don't even know, I don't know if it's a proper order, but then Sammy, I think, responds by saying, and I quote, "You are a jobber, a favor hire, be grateful, bitch."
Yes, I believe that was Andrade released his statement. That was Sammy's comment. And then I believe the next one was, oh, Andrade saying, well, at least I would say, I said it to your face if you had a problem with me and you said nothing. He said, I won't beat your ass because I'm a professional. Don't be scared. When I something, I name names and I'm not scared to get fired. Hashtag Sammy.
Yeah.
And then I believe Guevara again responded after that. Like you said, kind of basically saying he only has the job because of being married to Charlotte.
Yeah,
And I
because
actually saw a great response to that where someone goes, no, it has nothing to do with him being married to Charlotte. It's the fact that he's an ex-WWE guy. That's why he got signed.
I mean, not only that, but before WWE, very popular in Japan and Mexico, all over the world. Andrade has been around for a long time. I have to remind people he was huge before he got to WWE.
Yes, when he was in Mexico as Cien Almas, he was huge.
Yeah, of course, in
And
Japan. Oh.
like I don't like the part where Sammy's talking about, you failed, he failed to get over, like, because I mean the dude was usually over in WWE, especially when he had the Zelina Vega as his mouthpiece. I think his promo skills are a little grating. He's definitely a guy who needs someone to, I think, to help him talk, but. To say that he failed to get over, I think, is a disservice because they just put him in a lot of really shitty angles with like the Hardy family office and all that kind of stuff, instead of just letting him go out there and wrestle people.
I just think it's just unfortunate that Andrade's booking by promoters is just not what you and I would expect, especially to someone who's as brilliant of a wrestler as Andrade. I mean, to me, no matter what, Andrade is one of the greatest talents I've ever seen. I mean, I've watched tape from him in Mexico before pre-WWE. That's usually what I did. Like when these huge talents would go to NXT, I would basically do what journalists do, like learn about them, like look at the tape, study them, and then like that to take the interest to the next level and to know like, oh man, this is cool. This dude could definitely fit right in.
I mean, there's no question that he can go in the ring. I think it goes back to something we've talked about before, though. It's just, you have all these ex-WWE guys coming in, the Malakai Black and Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, even Bryan Danielson to a certain extent. It's they're there, and then they have these big debuts, and then after that, it's like Tony doesn't know what to do with them, and they either get lost in the shuffle or put in really horrible angles or factions or. I mean, I kind of like how they are kind of doing the callback to the the Ignobles, faction that he had in Mexico with Naito. So I like that they're kind of working that in a little bit, but I still just feel like him Sammy saying Andrade failed to get over. I don't. It's all on Andrade. I think you gotta look at the way he was booked as well. But it just goes back to, again, I mean, we've seen this time and time again with Sammy. I mean, the dude's sick in the ring. He's absolutely insane. But it's just he's always in these situations, and it just sometimes just feels like, dude, you need to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And and going to the next week after that, Andrade. I mean, based on that tweet, Andrade just simply responds, "Okay, I'm a liar," and then puts a laughing emoji. "I'll tell you to your face again." It just kind of seems as though Andrade knows that Sammy's trying to get into his head, and he's just not letting him. But now that we like that, speaking of Andrade, it's been rumored for a bit now that he would be departing AEW. And you mentioned how Andrade's speaking skills, and speaking of Ric Flair, I actually read that Ric Flair actually wanted to be Andrade's manager at AEW, but apparently Tony Khan felt that that it was Tony Khan, obviously, from what I read, Tony Khan didn't want it.
From what I remember about that is the plan was to bring him in, and then they Vice TV, shout out to Vice, and Dark Side of the Ring, they aired the Plane Ride from Hell episode. And after everything came out about that and Rick's behavior on there, Tony wanted to just kind of distance himself from that. Which I will, that is one thing I will kind of give Tony props about. He is very quick to like the Brian Kendrick thing, and when the stuff came out about what Sammy said about Sasha Banks a couple years ago, he does seem very quick to kind of shut those things down and not let those type of people you know, with those kind of path issues actually come into that locker room. But I mean, that being said, you look at the locker room and it's got to be a freaking mess back there. I mean, it doesn't seem like you have anyone like a JR was in WWE talent relations, just to kind of like tell everyone to chill the fuck out, sit the fuck down and act they're doing it. Just between this, you know, if it is a shoot, you know, Eddie and Andrade, and then, or excuse me, Sammy and Andrade, and then Sammy and Eddie Kingston, and then the thing with the Punk and the Elite, and just all this stuff. It just seems like the locker room's in a bit of disarray, and you know that's not good for any type of business to have your, you know, employees, for lack of a better term, because as we all know, wrestling is a business, kind of all doing their own thing and not being on the same page.
Well, David, I can honestly state that these are basically the consequences of letting the inmates run the asylum.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I've actually had that exact same thought that this is kind of what you're going to get in that situation. I mean, wrestlers are humans just like all of us. And when you are in that position, you know, and you're left unchecked, I think these things are going to happen. They, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way, but they do have egos. I think you have to be in that profession. If you're a pro wrestler and you don't think that you're, you know, the best, then you're probably in the wrong line of business. I think that's an attitude a lot of them have, and that can really cause those lines to kind of bleed over, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So to finish up the whole thing with Andrade, I mean, I'm actually reading right here, according to Wrestling Inc., Ric Flair actually did manage Andrade in a match back in August at a World Wrestling Council show in, of course, in Puerto Rico, when Andrade faced Carlito. We all remember Carlito, you know, apples, not being cool.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and Carlito had his dad in his corner. And this was after the Ric Flair's last match event, actually, which I'll tell you that Ric Flair's last match, the match itself wasn't the best, but man, that build up was insane.
Yeah,
that was such a good story.
Yeah, totally. So last thing about Andrade is that I think tonight he's actually competing in a match with Dark Order's Preston 10 Vance in a mask versus career match. And of course, you know, if Andrade loses, he has to leave AEW. And of course, if he wins, then Vance has to unmask. So I think we're gonna have the answer tonight. If Andrade loses, then we'll have it confirmed. So because in these kinds of things, they're not really gonna reveal the secrets. Yeah, he's gonna lose and depart. I mean, unless you go so deep in the dirt sheets, you might be able to find that. But like I said, I mean, these rumors. I mean, you and I, obviously, with what happened with Malakai Black, obviously, like, we got to be extra careful. But then again, you and I were in fact misled. But as far as Andrade leaving goes, the rumors are one thing. I mean, I get it. They've intensified. But really, at the end of the day, all I can say is I'll believe it when it happens. And when it happens, I'll come on the show and I'll talk about it, hopefully with you.
Agreed. And I'm actually very much looking forward to that match tonight. 10, Preston Vance, man. That dude, he's got the size. He's got the build. He's pretty decent. I think he's good in the ring. So it's going to be exciting. I would love to see him kind of, you know, I would love to see Andrade go over. Let's see Preston unmask and really try to let his personality develop outside the Dark Order, and, you know, maybe we can get another stinger out of him.
Absolutely. So now that we're through with Mr. Guevara and Andrade and like this, now we get to Sean Spears, because, well, Sean Spears kind of went a little bit critic on Twitter. I mean, I think he tweeted a gif of saying goodbye, then he deleted it, then he did another one. So that's a little cryptic tweet for Sean Spears. I mean, a lot of wrestlers do that in these situations, but you know, I'm looking at these sources. I mean, that he's supposedly said goodbye, or if he's teasing his departure. But I got to be honest. I mean, Sean Spears, I had so many high hopes when I learned that he was one of the original signings of AEW. I mean, I was really like, please, 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 let's really see how great he is. Let's see him be used properly. And I got to say, I'm disappointed with how he had been used.
Absolutely. Sean Spears, I mean, when he was in NXT as Ty Dillinger, the 10 gimmick was just insanely over. I mean, I still remember the pop he got when the Royal Rumble, I think it was the 2019 or 2018 Rumble, and he actually came out at number 10. And I mean, the place lost their freaking fucking minds. I mean, it was just, it was insane. He was over. He was huge. He can go in the ring. You know, he comes in AEW. He's got this thing going with Cody. And, you know, he does that interview where he turns around and Tully Blanchard's going to be his manager. And, like, he, you know, hits Cody with that wicked chair shot. And I don't know if they gimmicked the chair wrong or Cody took it wrong or Sean hit him wrong. But I think we all remember that shot and Cody just being left in the ring as this bloody mess. And, you know, we're going to have this amazing feud between, you know, Cody and Sean Spears. And then they have one match, Cody buries Spears in it, and, you know, I believe it was an All Out 2019, you know, and Cody goes over him in the match, and then Sean Spears is just a lackey to MJF. I mean, I hate to be that drum, but it's a lot of times the guys coming in from WWE, Tony has no idea what to do.
It's a damn shame, man. It really is. When he was known, like, you know, had the gimmick with the chair, you know, the chairman of AEW, I mean, I'm telling you, he was more built. I mean, we really saw a tougher, edgier character than he was portraying. I mean, it's kind of as if, though, Ty Dillinger was basically killed off. I'm tougher, I'm meaner like that. And that I mean, the haircut and everything. I mean, I'm telling you, like,
I mean, he looked great. He came out, he had this hype, he had this look, you know, and they had a great angle with it too, with, you know, Cody being like, hey, you know, he's a good hand. And that's, you know, obviously not something, you know, a wrestler wants to be known as. And so it really set it up for them to have this feud. And, you know, Tony, you know, Cody beats him in 16 minutes. And then that was it. There was no continuation of it. I mean, why couldn't we have Sean go over that match? You know, you had just introduced Tully Blanchard as his manager, have Tully, you know, do some heelish shit, let Sean go over Cody and then carry it out. But no, Cody beats him 16 minutes and that's the feud. That's all we get from Cody Rhodes and Sean Spears, which it's a huge drop of the ball. That feud could have been great. Honestly, my wish is that feud would have eventually developed into like a new version of the Horsemen with Spears, Cody, MJF, and Wardlow. That was my hope. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. You know, he ended up joining the Pinnacle Group with MJF and FTR and all them, but he just got lost in the shuffle. And it's, again, just another case of an ex-WWE guy that they don't know what to do with anything.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's boggling my mind because, like you mentioned, I believe it was at Fighter Fest when he hit Cody with the steel chair, and then like that, and then I think it was the next night that he proclaimed himself as the chairman of AEW. But, you know, and I'll never forget that match he had with Chris Jericho as one of the, you know, to face up in that match, you know, when he was in a match with Jericho. I was actually there when, like, he was allowed to use a chair, but Jericho wasn't, so.
I remember that. I was there as well. Was the Winners Coming in Garland.
Yeah, it was, so. So, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the whole thing with the Pinnacle, I mean, they put him, again, got lost in the shuffle. And I guess because, you know, the fans, you know, love Sean Spears. So I guess that's why they had to put him somewhat involved in the Pinnacle. But
he had a good thing going when he, you know, they did that when Wardlow was in the middle of his face turn. And, you know, Wardlow would powerbomb, you know, the guys to win the match. And then Spears would run in, hit him with a chair a couple times, you know, quote unquote, try to steal his heat from him. I always thought that was good. But again, like we said, it's just, I think it's a case where there's too many guys on the roster. I know you had mentioned him and Cassie McIntosh, Peyton Royce, Cassie Lee are expecting a child. So maybe he's going to take some time off. But I, you know, with everything going on, I would love to see him pop up in the revamped NXT or WWE. If he is, you know, truly done with AEW, I would love to see him pop up with that Perfect 10 gimmick again. And, you know, maybe more of an edge to him like we've seen in AEW. And, I mean, could you honestly imagine if that were to happen, Cody, since Cody's in WWE now, you know, they get Cody back, get him healthy, And then, you know, Cody's standing in the ring. Sean Spears come out of nowhere. They reenact the chair shot, you know, and just starts that feud over and actually book it correctly. I think it could be really cool. And I think it'd put a lot of eyes on it and kind of a good circle back to that feud.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm looking at a source, and then remember how we mentioned that tweet that Sammy put, says you're a jobber, a favorite for hire. Some people believe that it was directed towards Spears, but I really believe it was directed towards towards Andrade. But
it has to be Andrade. I mean, unless Sammy is just dead set on starting shit with every single person on the roster.
Because it just so happens that when Sean Spears released that cryptic tweet, I think it was just the timing. I think that's why he got confused. But like we've said, you know, when Tony Khan said that he's not granting releases, like, so yeah, that's got to tell me that Sean Spears' contract either has already expired or it's about to expire, and obviously they cannot come to an agreement to renew it. So, but like you mentioned, because his wife is pregnant, I would not be surprised if he declined to renew it so he can spend time with her, because, you know, they're about to start a family.
I could definitely see that. You know, we'll just kind of have to see what the future holds. But I do hope we see him pop up again sooner rather than later. As I do, I think he's definitely got some talent in there, and I like watching him wrestle.
Because so. last time he competed in a match, I believe was against Wardlow, as you mentioned, which was back in May.
But yes, yeah, so that was his last match. It was May 25th of Dynamite in that steel cage match with MJF as the referee.
Yeah, but I gotta be honest, you know, my favorite memory of Spears, well, this is kind of sad, but I'll never forget when he had that appearance when DX was back in 2006. You remember when Shawn Michaels kicked Stan? You know who's Stan actually?
Oh, yes. That when the DX thing, and they were just going around. Yeah, all right. That was such a good super kick.
Yeah, he appeared backstage, you know, as a backstage employee named Stan, and then he got super kicked by HBK. Oh,
yeah, it wasn't. Wasn't we get more out of him? Maybe those matches he had with Bobby Roode and NXT. Those are some bangers.
Oh yeah. So anyway, it remains to be seen. So if Spears' departure is when it's official, I'm sure we'll have a reason. But right now, I'm going to stick to my guns. I really just believe that his contract's expiring. And, of course, he's about to become a dad. So that's it. So our final thing now is Ruby Soho. Apparently, recently underwent surgery for a broken nose. And apparently, the broken nose was actually suffered last month. When she competed in a match with, she teamed up with Ortiz to challenge Guevara and Tay Conti for the AAA World Mixed Tag Team titles.
Tay Conti strikes again. Again, man, we keep bringing this up, and I feel like I'm literally beating a dead horse. You know, first of all, Heidi Lovelace, Ruby Riott, Ruby Soho, whatever you call her, one of my favorite female wrestlers, absolutely love her. And then, you know, she pops up Casino Battle Royal and All Out in Chicago in September. Huge pop. I mean, the crowd's going nuts. She comes out. She's freaking, man, emotional. You can tell she's so happy to be there. She wins the Casino Battle Royal. 2 weeks later, she, you know, loses to Britt Baker in a title match. And now she's just another person. She loses to Jade Cargill in the TBS Championship Tournament. She lost in the finals of the Owen Hart Tournament to Britt Baker. She starts doing matches on Dark and Elevation. She gets in an opening match on the pay-per-view, which does anyone really have any huge, you know, passion for the AAA World Mixed Tag Team Championships? They almost kill her with that kick to the head when Sammy just lets her drop. And, you know, I've seen arguments. It's Ruby didn't rotate right to take the bump right. Sammy just kind of dropped her like a sack of potatoes, half of one, you know, six of the other. And then in a match, Tay Conti picks her up and hits a GTS and breaks her nose. I mean, you know, the runaway Ruby Soho, run the fuck away from AEW at this point. Jesus Christ.
I mean, unfortunately, Matt, I mean, there's miscommunications, there's botches, there's mistakes in matches, but right now, I mean, again, you know, based on how you know, your rant right there, I mean, it might not seem like a rant, but, you know, since I know that you've been a big Ruby Soho fan for a long time, I mean,
it's a rant. It's a mild rant.
I think in your case, it's a rant, but it's an emotional one. It's not like the rants I do on my Cowboys show when I'm tearing the team apart, obviously, even though some would say that's emotional, but yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, Ruby Soho comes in, I mean, loses those two finals matches. I mean, I was actually pretty angry about that, to be honest. I mean, but then again, of course, as a wrestling fan, we're not always going to get what we want. But still, I mean, you bring her in, all the hype, the pop, the momentum. But this is what you do? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't the first time that, you know, Ty Conti has injured people, you know. What was it, the match that she had with was it Maddie Rinsky on Elevation when she's in the turnbuckles and she like knees her in the back while she's stuck in between there and almost looked like she bent her in half, you know? And it just seems like in a lot of these situations that they're doing moves that they don't have the training to do. And I know I don't want to talk, I'm just some fat, you know, wrestling fan from the side. I've never been in the ring or anything like that. But it just, you know, it sucked for me watching that happen to Ruby, man. I mean, they drop her on her head and then she breaks her nose and she's out again. And again, it's just a dropped ball. I mean, this chick was over. Why not that first night against Baker, man, put the title on her, get some new blood out there, see what happens. And now she's, you know, I'd say she's there, but she's not, because she's not recovering from a broken freaking nose.
Right. I mean, so as far as the recovery process goes, I mean, should be. I saw the tweet, you know, man.
I'm sure she'll be okay, but man, she got the. I know you've seen the pictures online, like. Man, that was to have like a full on surgery like that for a broken nose is a little extreme.
It is, of course. Everybody's going to remind us, you know, it's pro wrestling. It happens, right?
It does, but I mean, I think also there is, you know, at the same time though, you got to take care of your dance partner.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was against Maddie Rinkowski, but there was also another match with Abaddon too, but. But yeah, I do remember. I actually know Maddie Rinkowski, believe it or not. I mean, not personally, but I've been to an indie. I've been to a few indie shows where she's worked, and she is one hell of a tremendous worker and a tremendous heel too. But yeah, I mean, there's always these wrestlers that kind of have a habit of having a little bit of a reputation. But you know, at the end of the day, look, I'm not gonna take anything away from Conti. It's just that I just think that obviously sometimes in wrestling things happen, but. I mean, again, but sometimes we as wrestling fans, we worry for everybody, to be honest.
I think we do. And it just, I mean, let's be honest, whenever it's one of our favorites, which, you know, Ruby Soho is a favorite of mine, whenever that happens, you know, we kind of take that a little personal, I think, and, you know, pisses us off maybe a little more than it should. But, I mean, overall, it's like, you know, Ruby came into AEW with so much just, pop and circumstance, and man, that debut was huge. And then, you know, a year later, you know, because she debuted what, a year ago? Yeah, it was in 2021. A year later, and she's barely involved in the main event scene of the women's division, which is a crime, and then having to be out nursing a broken nose right now. It pisses me off, man. Because, man, can you imagine the matches the promos, everything we could get between Ruby and Toni Storm right now? Jesus Christ. That would be insane, dude. Punk rock versus heavy metal? Let's go.
I mean, this is assuming my prediction that Toni Storm turns heel when Thunder Rosa returns and then they finish that storyline. Then I would love to see it. I mean, but so that's if Storm is heel. Now you see Ruby Riott as the face and Toni Storm being the heel. Now that, honestly, I would love to see it.
Oh, absolutely. That would be, yeah. I would totally be down with that. I mean, honestly, I could get down with either a Ruby Tony feud, a Ruby Thunder feud, a Tony Thunder feud, Tony Thunder Ruby feud. And hell, I mean, I'll even say it, throw Britt Baker in there. She can't help the, you know, the booking and stuff. She's a phenomenal wrestler as well. Then you got Jamie Hayter coming up. You got Jade Cargill. You got Athena Ember Moon. Like, it's, you know, not to go off on a tangent here, but the women's division as a whole, you got some really, really talented pieces, but it's like they have no one who knows how to book it.
It's a shame.
And there's so much talent being wasted, man. Hopefully with Saraya in there, the, you know, FKA, formerly known as Paige, maybe she can bring to that. And then I know they added Madison Rayne and people like that. But at the same time, it's just like the Tony's got to get some help, man. Like, I understand he wants to be the booker and do everything, but you can't do this shit all on your own.
I mean, there's no shame in admitting that you can't do it on your own. It's a team effort.
I mean, if you look on Twitter and social media, you're actually seeing, you know, people who are extremely pro AEW, you know, between the backstage stuff and, you know, booking of some of the people's favorite wrestlers. It's, you know, even the most diehards are kind of shaking their heads like, what the fuck is going on? This doesn't make any sense. And I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, like some people are pro AEW, pro WWE. Me, I just love pro wrestling. If I had the time, was able to watch every single show every week, whether it be Ring of Honor, AEW, Raw, even though I'm still not fully sold on Raw, but I'm getting there. And, you know, even with New Japan, World Ringer Stardom, AAA, Mexico, I mean, if I could watch all the wrestling I can with all the promotions, I mean, I would, but, you know, it's obviously pretty tough, obviously, like that. But
we are pro wrestling. And I will say the only thing that's really killing me about Raw is, good God, that 3-hour runtime.
Nope.
Absolutely. Please do not be 3 hours. There's no fucking need.
There's no need for it.
I mean, you look at the talent that we have in wrestling right now could be the biggest. I think social media may have killed wrestling, but that's a whole other. That definitely killed kayfabe. That's a whole other conversation. But I think just the talent that's out there between AEW, WWE, we should be in like the golden age of wrestling. And I'm hopeful we'll get there. It is great right now, but again, I mean, Tony, if somehow you're listening to this, I'm gonna at you in the podcast link when it goes up on Twitter. I am just begging you, man, get someone to help you with the booking and do a better job with the women, dude. You got such a great roster.
Yeah, and Mr. Khan, this is out of respect because I've got a lot of respect for you. Now, let me say right there, and Tony Khan, if AEW needs a French-speaking commentary guy, I can do it. I can even do it. I can do commentary in English even if you need me to. But if you need a French-speaking commentator, I'm your guy. All right. But yeah, and this is out of respect. So if you're for me being pro wrestling just like you, like. If imagine if one day if all the promotions once again all work together, WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, AAA, you know, if they were all working together, it's like the days of the NWA, I'm telling you, you and I we'd be overjoyed.
Oh, absolutely. They could all just do their own thing. I mean, just come together and it would be great, man. Like I said, it'd be the golden age of wrestling once again.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered all the bases today. David, anything else you want to say?
No, just, you know, make sure you are following us at the Ring of Chaos. You can follow me at @its_all_taken, Bear Man of Texas podcast for all your other sports needs from our wonderful host, Alex. And just, I'm excited about watching some Dynamite tonight. Hopefully get some good matches and figure out what's going on with Andrade. Maybe we'll figure out something out with him and Preston Vance and see if he's actually leaving, and we'll have any more information from Sammy or any more hits from him.
Absolutely. So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @BearManOfTexas. It's just TX. You don't have to spell it out. You can follow my podcast. It's a Bear of Texas _podcast. If you want, like that. If you want to be on the show, if you got any suggestions, like I said, I'm open to them. So be sure to subscribe and share this with your friends. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you love professional wrestling, then Ringside Chaos is the show for you. David, thank you so much for coming on, and I cannot wait to have you on again soon, brother.
Sounds good, man. We got to do that January 4th, 99 Super Show talking about the finger poke and Mankind's first title win. I'd love to do a deep dive. We need to do a watch along on that match, bro.
Oh, absolutely.
So, that's a Foley mark. Thank you so much for having me again, and we love you, Chaos Nation.
All right. Thank you all very much. And for the record, Mick Foley, put my butt in a seat.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.